I have something to say that's going to bother me if I don't say it.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Yeah! 206 here on The Dory Monson Show. Welcome! Welcome to our top stories this hour. I got a lot of stuff to get to here. So, Nicole and I were talking about what we want to do this hour. And we got completely sidetracked from talking about the show because when I was gone for a week and a half, Nicole did a little house and dog sitting for me. And so we were comparing notes on that. You got your hands full with our dogs here.
Yeah, they were. Well, Buddy, I thought that you had said he was getting better about going for walks, and I learned that is not the case, and we turned right around and left when he was just harassing a UPS driver and then an Amazon driver and, like, could not control his excitement, I should say,
And the thing is, he's fine except for delivery trucks.
But this delivery guy was stopping at every house on your road, and he could not contain himself. It was crazy.
It's insane. I don't know what to do about it because a panel truck with a different logo can go by, and he's fine. But if it's a panel truck with a UPS or United States Postal Service or Amazon, he goes berserk. And
it is intense.
I don't know what to do about it. And then did I tell you? I told you what happened on Sunday morning, right? So
I don't know.
6:15 Sunday morning. My wife and I are still both sound asleep.
Oh yeah.
And if somebody comes to the house, Buddy, and I love this about him because he's a great watchdog. If somebody comes to the house, he goes berserk. And so it's 6:15. I don't know. It's still dark out. And so it could be 3 a.m. It could be 6 a.m. I have no idea. I just hear Buddy going berserk like I've never heard in the middle of the night before. So my wife and I, we both, jerk up in bed, and my wife immediately starts, coming down to see what's going on. And I do have a firearm, and so I grabbed that just in case it was something nefarious. It was an Amazon delivery at 6:15 on a Sunday morning. Does that happen very often?
Since they started contracting the drivers where they're, people can just sign up to deliver for them, I feel like it's been crazy times. I mean, I got one at 9:30 one night. I mean, it is different. They have no off hours.
Well, and the thing is, I didn't care. I mean, I didn't like being, scared by Buddy's craziness, but that's on Buddy, not a delivery person, because I have nothing but respect for delivery people. And if they're out hustling at 6:15 on a Sunday morning, I am never, ever going to complain about that. I have nothing but respect for people who hustle in their gigs. And my dog should be of no concern to them. But I tell you what, that was scary to me. I had not experienced that at that time of day ever before. And so that was, my wife, she comes running down. I needed a weapon before I would come running down. My wife's much tougher than me. I think that's the bottom line on all of that. Oh, man. Okay, I was talking about these HOAs.
You know what? Really quick, right. Similar story while you were gone. So, Kel, your son-in-law was there some of the time that I was there, right? And so
yeah.
I was at your house and there at the 11 o'clock at night, there was a car sitting at the top of the driveway with headlights on. And I watched it for about a half an hour, and it was starting to freak me out a little bit. And so I texted your son-in-law and said, hey, there's this car out there. And I'm like looking through windows. I didn't want to go outside. It was a whole thing. And then I texted him, hey, there's this car. What do you think? And he comes upstairs, walks out the door, goes up to the car, and it was like two kids making out. And they're like, sorry, sorry, and drove off. And I was like, okay, I was never going to walk up to that car for sure. But really? He's also along the same lines as your wife. Yes.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, I don't know that I told you about that. It was
so
pretty funny.
They parked in our driveway to make out?
Just right before the driveway with our headlights in the, like going across the driveway. Yes.
Oh, young love.
Precious.
Those were fun times.
But I was freaking out, you know, peeking through windows at them for a half hour or so. And then your son-in-law just walks out there and is like, what are you doing?
There was a...
sorry, I sidetracked you more. Sorry.
No, you've sidetracked me horribly. But back there was a time 100 years ago when Ballard was, it was always part of Seattle, but it was considered more its own community. And Ballard had its own train station. And it's kind of close to going when you go down to Shilshol. And I remember one night with a girlfriend or a girl. It was the first time we had had a really fun time parking, but we went down to the Ballard train station, and she was a couple years older than me, so she could buy a bottle of wine. I think I was 19, and I didn't drink much then. But you sat at this old Ballard train station, and once in a while a freight train would come by. But there was a time, you know, like I said, 100 years ago, when it was a full-service passenger train platform. And but it was just like this hidden, really creepy, if you weren't, you know, with somebody that you were really smitten with. But yeah, just going and parking. So I'm kind of honored that somebody parked at the top of our driveway to make out. Yeah. That makes me feel good.
They were avoiding going home or dropping off.
Well, they're doing it wrong if they're going to leave the car headlights on. Come on.
I know.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
That occurred to me, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to make it a worthwhile park.
What a silly start to this hour.
Sorry.
Oh, man. I am too. Okay, so I was just going to say about these homeowners associations, which is how all of this started, because right before the top of the hour, I talked about the person with the skeleton on a stripper pole, and her HOA said, you can't do that. And I have one other soundbite I haven't been able to play. She said, I was just going to put it up for a week right before Halloween.
My way of being creative and having an outlet. And there's no harm. I'm not hurting anyone. And really, just, you know, take it easy. It's okay. It's only Halloween.
I don't know. I think as I get older, I kind of like having HOAs, but like I said, the place we rented for a few days, when they said you can't play music outside, and I guess they were really rigid, $1,000 fine, and there's no talking your way out of it. And so I don't know that I want other people regulating my life to that extent. All right. With that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
I will tell you what I will never understand about progressives. So here in Seattle, for example, we have homeless people in every single park. I mean, your kids cannot go play at a park. We spend a fortune, I tell you, on park fees because it's part of your property taxes. Even if you're a renter, a bunch of your rent money goes to park fees. But now we find out that a place that used to be pretty near and dear to my heart, Carkeek Park, right on the Sound, there is a gigantic homeless population at Carkeek Park. And I saw a story about how they have just trash, piles of trash next to the streams that run into Puget Sound. And I find it so absolutely heartbreaking because if you live in rural King County, you got to pay a fortune to have your septic tank checked once a year to make sure it's not leaking anything. And yet, our homeless population, they can put trash into our streams that flow into the Sound. And it's a tragedy. Hey, Nicole, let me ask, do you have the audio for this story by any chance?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't have audio on mine. I might have just not clicked through it. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I can just tell the story. But my point is that I don't understand progressives who claim they care about the planet. They care about pollution. They care about the earth. And yet they embrace policies where we can litter our playgrounds with heroin needles, where we can have homeless encampments that flood trash into pristine creeks or previously pristine creeks that then flow into Puget Sound. I don't understand the inconsistency. And I never will. Either you care about the planet or you don't. And if you do care, you cannot say, yeah, but it's so important for us to just flood the region with tents and garbage because these homeless encampments are just filled with nothing but trash. And I'm sorry that's happened. But again, the solution is we should have these navigation teams with cops going to the encampments and saying, we do not allow this. We're not going to allow our waterways to become filled with trash. And you can either get help and we'll provide the help or you got to move on. But we are not going to allow you to just absolutely trash our planet. Now, that seems like it should be a somewhat progressive position to say we're not going to allow this. But no, progressives care more about the trashing of streams and waterways if it achieves this bizarre goal of letting homeless people encamp anywhere they want. And so the latest is Carkeek Park that's getting absolutely trashed. And this is a beautiful area, but it's just not safe anymore, and it's become a trash heap. And I find that absolutely heartbreaking. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
I mentioned at the beginning of the show today that this election, 6 days from now, is the most important of my lifetime. And the reason why I firmly believe that is because the mainstream Democratic Party has gotten so far away from the principles of our Constitution, our rights, our freedoms. And as I've said, I used to be a Democrat when they were about free speech and not conforming Democratic Party was much more in line with my ideals. It was the Republicans who, I mean, if you got out of line when it comes to sex or rock and roll or drugs, we'll come crashing down on you. Now it's the exact opposite. The Democratic Party, if you do not engage in the groupthink that is mandated, I know more than a little about this, they will come down on you like a ton of bricks. And last night in downtown Seattle, we saw this once again. There was a protest over the shooting by police of an armed career criminal in Philadelphia who was moving toward cops when he got shot. And so they had a protest in downtown Seattle. In the middle of this protest, somebody tried to get out near the Seattle Police West Precinct. Somebody tried to get out of a parking garage in one of the downtown buildings. This is what happened in downtown Seattle last night as this car came through. The guy opens his door, said something to the protesters like, "Hey, just let me go. I just want to get home." And this is what it sounded like.
Oh, Mom. Oh, Mom. I'm on a dead side, homie.
So then the guy just slowly drives through the crowd. Well, the crowd goes nuts. They wanted to unlawfully imprison him. They wanted to keep him trapped in that parking garage because they didn't want anybody to escape this prison that these radicals had formed in downtown Seattle. Now, as you can hear, they're hitting his car, they're kicking it, they're throwing things against it. The guy turned right out of the parking garage, but the street had been blocked by the protesters' vehicles. So then he pulls a U-turn and tries to escape the other direction.
What the f*** is your problem?
So then the car does a U-ey, and you hear them. They're grabbing anything they can find to throw to smash this person's vehicle in downtown Seattle.
Stop! Stop! Stop!
They're yelling at the driver to stop. I mean, who knows what would have happened to the driver if they had stopped? Would they have been killed? I don't know. But when we have mobs imprisoning people in downtown Seattle, that's when this election becomes so clear. Jay Inslee has said nothing about this from the first days of CHOP when he pretended he hadn't heard about it to last night when he doesn't care that his party is behind the imprisoning, the unlawful restraint of people. The Constitution does not matter to the left. Philadelphia, 1,000 looters stripped bare businesses in a huge area of the city. People walking out with televisions. One guy had a hand truck and was wheeling a washing machine away from a Walmart. All because of protests against police? No, all because we have a government and a party that is allowing mob rule and taking away our rights. Nothing is more important than our freedom and our rights. And the Democrats are doing nothing to protect it. So that's why this is the most important election of my lifetime. And that is your big lead for
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I was not on the air when $30 car taps got struck down by the state Supreme Court. I'm going to do a debriefer with Tim Iman about that and a lot more coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, I was on a little hiatus last week when the Supreme Court ruled against the overwhelming voter support for $30 tabs. And there's some other stuff going on with the promoter of that initiative, Tim Eyman, that I want to talk about. I'll fold it all together here. Tim Eyman joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Tim, always good to talk with you.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I was sorry that I was not on the air when this ruling came down, but I saw which way the wind was blowing, but the voters, once again, how many times have the voters voted for $30 tabs now?
This was the third time, and yes, for the Supreme Court to say the voters were confused by a measure they voted for three times just made my head explode.
Yeah, and I know for an awful lot of people, there's a very regressive tax. I look at my daughters who have, all three of them have older vehicles. They get $250, $300, $400 car tab bills. And it's just outrageous that the people of this state, despite their overwhelming, consistent support for this, they cannot get relief. And it's all because of a governor and apparently an attorney general who is just in the hip pocket of Sound Transit.
Yeah, it is absolutely maddening. I mean, the voters have three times gotten rid of this dishonest, inaccurate vehicle valuation schedule, yet we're still subject to it. We voted three times for initiative to say we just want our tabs to be $30, and we're consistently told we were confused. And here we have a governor, unlike a governor 21 years ago, that where Gary Locke was willing to implement the will of the people, even though the court struck it down. Here you have Jay Inslee basically saying we ain't going to do anything about it because he agrees the voters were confused.
It was Bob Ferguson's job as Attorney General to defend the will of the people. Now, I've talked to you over the months leading up to all of this. Did he zealously defend this initiative?
God, no. God, no. We really, really got hackneyed from the very beginning because we got stuck in King County. And since King County was one of the plaintiffs in the case, it was a pretty clear thing where if he had recused himself, stepped aside the way Senator Steve O'Bannon had recommended because of all the, clear conflicts that Ferguson had in the case with me, with Sound Transit, with all sorts of other issues, they would have immediately moved this thing out of King County, and it's very likely this thing never would have been on hold, put on hold in the first place. And once they got that hold, that preliminary injunction, it just never went away. And I really think that would have made a fundamental difference, and Ferguson didn't do that, despite the fact that he was told to do that, ought to do that. He just said, no, I don't want to make the judge mad at me.
Yeah,
it was just bizarre.
It's really interesting because over the years I've called Bob Ferguson the most dangerous politician I've ever covered in all my years on the air. And it's because he will destroy a florist in the Tri-Cities for standing for her religious principles. He wants to destroy you now. I mean, he wants to take away your First Amendment rights because you have long been somebody who's fought for these tax-cutting initiatives. And so what is he doing to you to try to take away your rights?
Well, it's been 8 years of investigation and litigation. They've spent nearly $2 million of taxpayer money. It's more money than they've spent going after anybody in any other case over the last 7 years combined. More has gone into the going after me. And the stated purpose of the lawsuit isn't just about money, asking for more money than I'll ever have, a lifetime ban on all my future political activity. And many people just say, you're exaggerating, but it is the reality is that you cannot, under this lawsuit, ever comply with the restrictions that are in it, and it's a lifetime ban on all future political activity. So it is so ridiculously unconstitutional, but it's pretty clear that by spending so much money, he was counting on me essentially running out of money where I could really defend myself, and I just couldn't sign on to that. He said, if you voluntarily sign this lifetime ban, this whole thing will stop. That happened during the mandatory arbitration. And I just said, that's blackmail, and I'm just not going to succumb to that. So it is a knockdown, drag-out fight. It's gone on for 8 years, and I just found out recently that the trial is going to be 4 days, November 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. And I think the entire effort behind it is not just trying to convince the judge to do the lifetime ban, but to just make me look so bad that nobody will ever support any initiative I'll ever sponsor ever again.
So what we're looking at, and I don't want to make this about me, but we're looking at a state that is manipulating things for totalitarianism. Mm-hmm. Because all they care about is raising our taxes. That's all that Jay mm-hmm. Inslee has cared about. That's all, and Bob Ferguson, he feels like that's going to bolster his run for governor in mm-hmm. 4 years. Bob Ferguson last week sent out to his massive database, he asked them to contact my employer to have me fired. I find this very troubling, and I know the direct lawsuit action against you is orders of magnitude greater than a petition against me, but I find this very troubling that we have very powerful politicians who want to silence everybody who is a voice of dissent in the state right now.
Even though at the end of the day, the entire system is rigged against us, we can't even, describe our frustration with it. I mean, when Bob Ferguson, whose job it was to defend $30 tabs, celebrated the ruling. I mean, it was his job to actually defend the will of the people. And when he loses the case, he celebrates it and says, this is great news. I have a great team that worked on defending the measure. You lost. You lost for the voters, and you lost for them on purpose, and you're celebrating the loss. It just made my head explode. And this lifetime ban on me, the effort to fire you, it's we can't allow anybody out there that disagrees with us to have a voice to even criticize us as we're dominating everybody's lives. I mean, it's a very, very scary time.
Yeah, it is. It's truly unprecedented. And as I've told you and I don't agree on everything. You and I had a big on-air fight a few months ago. I don't agree with you on everything, but I will always defend your right to say things that I agree with and to say things that I disagree with. I mean, that's what this is all about.
Well, and it was a vigorous, vigorous debate we had on air. I think it went on for like 11 minutes.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Everyone told me afterwards that was probably the best radio they'd ever seen, because you had two passionate individuals on both sides of an issue over me saying that Jay Inslee shutting down the state and hurting so many people with essential businesses, non-essential businesses, was like having his knee on the neck of those people. You were viscerally defending your position. I was, strongly defending my position. That's political discussion that apparently scares the stuffing out of the other side that says, no, we don't want anyone ever disagreeing with us, because then it would show there's dissent.
And that's the thing. I didn't like your analogy. I told you so. We, mm-hmm. We ended up screaming at each other. But I don't hate you because I disagree with you. I feel like our politicians hate those who won't step in line with them. And I think that's where we're looking at something horribly dangerous.
I mean, how dare you disagree with the common conventional wisdom that high car tabs must be high? Why can't we speak out against that? Why can't we do initiatives that seek to change that? Why can't their viewpoint is any dissent is a sign that people are going to feel like other people agree with them. And then you're going to have people not happy with what is happening to them. I mean, I've reached the point where I was forced to sell my interest in my home in Mukilteo in order to pay my lawyers, and even that's not enough. I mean, these guys want to crush anybody that's in dissent, and they hope that you'll eventually just give up and sign on the dotted line and move to Idaho or something. And I just think we have to stand up against that kind of fascism, that ability of the government to basically say, we can't allow anyone to disagree with us because they're a danger to us.
Yeah, amen. All right. Okay, well, keep me posted. I'm sure we'll talk as your trial unfolds in a few weeks here, okay?
And I got to plug it. It's timdefense.com. Timdefense.com is my website where I've got all the information on the background on this. And obviously, if people can help me pay my lawyers and have it be where I don't have to sell anything else in order to pay my lawyers, that would be nice. It's timdefense.com. And again, Dory, welcome back. And glad to hear you swinging the bat still.
Thank you, Tim. Tim Iman joining us. And I can disagree with him on so many things that I have over the years, but I don't dislike him because we disagree many of the times. Just like I don't love him because I agree many of the times. All right, our awesome audio coming up next here on The Dory Monson Show.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio. Clips of the day.
And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day. It's pretty incredible that so few in the mainstream media have followed up on a remarkable story. It came out the night of the presidential debate last week. A Navy officer named Tony Bobulinski, he says laptops, emails, text messages that show that Joe Biden was aware that his son Hunter was cutting deals with China to enrich the family. And this is a story that not only has gotten buried by most in the mainstream media, but on Twitter, it's been removed. You know, the tech titans, they're really trying to influence the race. Here's Tony Bobulinski. He told Tucker Carlson last night about his personal knowledge of China loaning money to the Bidens.
The Chinese and CFC never viewed me. I'm insignificant and irrelevant in this discussion. To them, it was always the Biden family. It wasn't Hunter Biden. It wasn't Jim Biden. It was the Biden family, who's obviously led and operated by Joe Biden. And in a document that you guys have, and I think it's been provided to, you know, to the world, the Chinese referenced that because of their trust in the Biden family, that Chairman Yi and Director Zhang are excited about moving forward in this. And in that document, they referenced loaning $5 million to the BD family.
Right.
The BD family is the Biden family. And notice they didn't say we're loaning that money to Oneida Holdings, or we're loaning that money to Tony Bobulinski, or we're loaning that money to James Gillier or Rob Walker. They, once again, not a document generated by me, a document generated by CFC, that they're loaning that money to the Biden family.
Now, this is a credible guy. As I said, he was a Navy officer, seems to be a stand-up, good American. But Joe Biden still denies knowledge of Hunter cutting these deals with the Chinese.
And this is a company with direct connections to the communist government of China. So the former vice president has said he had no knowledge whatsoever of his son's business dealings and was not involved in them at all. But this sounds like direct involvement in them.
Yeah, that's a blatant lie. When he states that, that is a blatant lie.
How can they not pick up on this story? Other than they're trying to, as a media conglomeration, trying to just rig the election. Also in our awesome audio, as for Joe Biden himself, Kamala Harris is his running mate, right? Now in Joe's addled mind, it's the other way around.
My name's Joe Biden. I'm Jill Biden's husband, and I am Kamala's running mate. You all think I'm kidding, don't you?
I don't know what you think, Joe. And then also, Donald Trump, he just finished a rally in Bullhead City, Arizona. He's on his way to another one as he tries to pull out a last week miracle.
We'll be the first nation to land an astronaut on Mars. Maybe we'll make that a woman, too. Maybe we should make that a woman, too. What do you think, Michael? He said, make it Nancy Pelosi. That's... Who said that? That's pretty good after that. Oh, stand up, please. Look at this guy. That's pretty good. I didn't say it. I'm just repeating it, you know. They say he incites trouble. He loves trouble. No, I don't. Thank you very much. That was very good. Are you a comedian professionally? Or...
He seems to be having more fun on the campaign trail than his opponent. Okay, Tom and Curly are coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Ta-da.
You about to break yourself. Believe that. Bye, Felicia.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.